SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
Relationships have been so strained during this season we've been walking through. And one thing that makes the strain a lot worse, it's lying. We're talking about that with Robert Paul today at SOS Radio. He's an author and vice president of the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
You know, this COVID season has just forced us to spend a lot more time indoors and around family, which is a good thing when you love your family. But if you've had strained relationships, it can make things a little tough because there's a lot of things below the surface that we don't even realize are there. And they come out really quickly, don't they?
They really do. And under normal circumstances, if there's some challenges in your marriages or in your marriage, there's a way in which you can at least get away, get to work, go do whatever activities you're doing and get some time apart. But when you're stuck in quarantine or whatever, you're face-to-face constantly. And if there's tension there, it is going to rear its head and stare you right in the face.
So, Robert, what do you suggest when we're finding we just have some tension in our relationships with our spouse? It's like it's nothing that you can tangibly say, oh, yeah, that's the problem. But you notice that they're always just blowing up. They're always getting angry with you. You're getting really annoyed really quickly for things that are kind of stupid.
Well, I think that what you're talking about is a relatively normal relationship. I think most of us have those kind of challenges from time to time. And obviously, when there's other stressors in the world, it's going to make it more aggravated. But if you have some tension from time to time in your marriage, you're a normal human being in a normal marriage. Those that don't have that are unusual. And not people that I can relate to, because I certainly have that in my own marriage. What I recommend to people, though, is when that stuff gets exposed, it's something that's worth paying attention to and looking to see if there are ways that you can make it better, whether that be to deal with the issue directly with your spouse or get some help, have somebody be able to give you some outside perspective to kind of get some ideas of maybe is there a way we can handle this differently that would feel better to both of us.
We're talking about the lies that could destroy our marriage relationship with Robert Paul today at SOS Radio. He's an author and he's vice president of the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. And lies can come in a lot of different ways, Robert. You know, you might hear someone say, oh, you know, I was just extending the truth, or it was just a little white lie. But the truth of the matter is it's still a lie. What do you think it is that motivates a person to want to falsify things?
Well, you know, actually, what we are addressing in the Nine Lies book that Greg Smalley and I just recently released is less about lying to your spouse and more about lies that are being taught to us and perpetuated by our culture at large, and really even that's maybe infiltrated the church to some degree. And it's generally things that are taught to us by well-meaning people who really are wanting to help us and don't realize that the suggestions that they're giving us are misguided. In fact, many of us have been set up by these ideas of what will work and what won't, and we don't realize it. We think this is the right stuff. This is the stuff that should work. And when it doesn't go well, we're left to assume, because we believed and trusted the people that taught us, that it must be me or my spouse that are messed up, as opposed to we're trying to use relational strategies that can't work.
You know, your new book's called Nine Lies That'll Destroy Your Marriage. I mean, what did you do to narrow down to nine specific lies? Because there's so many things that are distorted in our culture right now. What are the first ones that jumped out to you?
The question that you ask as to where this came from is an interesting one, because we run a program called Hope Restored at Focus on the Family. And it's a program for couples who are really in crisis. Generally, they're hanging by a thread. Many of them are needing a miracle, and they don't know how to see their way out of it and how to get to a better relationship. And we've been doing this now for 21 plus years, and we've worked with, this is a pretty highly motivated group because they're hurting, and we've worked with close to 8,000 couples. So what this has come from is, over the years, it's kind of like we have a marriage lab, and we've been looking over the years as to what are the lies that people are believing, and what are the things that they're struggling with, and what are the things that they can do differently that will make things better. And so this has been derived out of years and years of study, not just saying, hey, this is good theory, try this, but really what works and what doesn't. And that's what's really driven these nine lies, or nine of the ones that kind of rise to the surface as some of the most prevalent, most powerful.
We live in a culture where there's so many distortments of truth, and we're talking with Robert Paul today at Eswiss Radio. We're talking about the lies that we tend to believe in our marriage that just aren't accurate. Robert's an author, and he's vice president of Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. As you've studied marriage in this new decade, what are you noticing that's been changing from the generations before?
Well, I think that there is a very distinct change in the expectations that people have in their relationship. One of the big prominent ones is that people are putting off marriage at all because they're starting to question whether or not, you know, is this old institution that was of my generation and my parents' generation even relevant to the generation of today? I've heard a lot of young people say, you know, marriage is kind of an out-of-date institution. It doesn't even apply today. And now people are waiting until, instead of just finding someone to kind of journey through life with, they are waiting until they've kind of got all the bases covered and they're financially stable and so forth, if they're willing to marry at all, because a lot of them are saying, why marry? Why not just live together? And so those are changing. I think the expectations on marriage and from marriage have changed dramatically. People are much more looking to marriage to be their source, their primary source of fulfillment, if they're going to do it. Fulfillment and happiness is what people are running after. So those are a couple of changes.
We're talking with Robert Paul, and he's the vice president of the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. And you've studied marriage, you've studied fulfillment in marriage, and you've studied living together as well. And a lot of people think like, oh, let's test drive this before we get married. That'll help our success. But the stats say that is absolutely false.
Well, absolutely. I think that it gives you a false idea of what it's going to be like. It's kind of distressing at times to hear people describe what the experience was like moving from living together to actually being married. And it's like they get married and then it seems like it changes dramatically. And they're going, hey, other than the piece of paper and the, you know, the vows that we said, why is this different? But I think that people go into a marriage with very different expectations. There's a sense of permanence that people are thinking about, even if they see it as a starter marriage or a test marriage, which unfortunately a lot of people do. Something changes in your mind and it becomes a different kind of relationship, like I said, with different expectations than the one that you felt you were test driving. And what it does is it really sets people up to be greatly disappointed. This is not what I was hoping for. This is not what I was expecting are common things we hear from people.
I think it's interesting because if you live together before you're married, you sort of go into the marriage relationship like this is a contract. And if I do this, you're expected to do this. And as long as I'm doing this and you're doing this, we're good. And if not, then we'll just break that off. We'll change. We'll make another arrangement. And it's like, no, that's not how marriage works. Marriage is a covenant.
Yeah. And I think that unfortunately, people look at it like you're suggesting, Scott, kind of like a business arrangement. You know, we are deciding to go into business together and this is what I can expect. It's like you said, contractual. This is what I'll give and this is what I expect from you in return. And I don't think that's how God set this up. I really do think that he's looking at this more as something that has to do with what I'm supposed to bring and who I'm supposed to be in the world, let alone how I'm supposed to be in my marriage toward my spouse. And when I think about my relationship with my wife, and we're coming up in October to our 40th anniversary, so I've had a good bit of experience on this. This has really been a proving ground for me. This is me trying to figure out how to be the man that God created me to be fully and bring every drop of what he brought me here to bring to the world, to my relationship, to my family, to my community, to the church, to the, you know, the body of Christ, to the kingdom of God. Those are the things that I really need to be focused on and less about, okay, Jenny, this is what now I'm expecting from you. This is what I'm giving. This is what you need to give me in return. That's a setup for frustration.
We're talking about the lies that destroy our marriage with Robert Paul today at Eswiss Radio. You've done a whole bunch of research on marriage, and there's a lot of truths that actually can set our marriage free when we feel like we're just in that cycle of barely getting by, or you feel like you're chasing love, or you feel like your spouse is selfish, you feel like your spouse just doesn't understand you or your work. Robert, what do you suggest for really embracing truth so we can find some freedom from some of the lies that we've sort of bought into?
Well, I think probably as much as anything, I rest in the idea that God wants our marriages to be awesome. And he will be present and available to help us if we can just figure out how we might get in his way and get out of the way and let him have his way with us. Interestingly, we have one of the highest success rates I know of in the world helping couples who are in crisis to find their way to a great marriage. And we have one definition of a great marriage and one only. And the definition is this: it's a marriage that both of you love and love the direction it's headed. Nothing short of that. Both of you loving the relationship. Now, I'm convinced, Scott, that it doesn't have to be that we love it for the same reason, as long as we both love it. So when I'm working with a couple who's struggling, the first thing that I want to find out is, what would it take for you to feel great about this relationship? And then I'll look at their spouse and I'll say, okay, what would it take for you to feel great about this relationship and where you see it heading, what you see it being about? And then once I get clear about what those two sets of hopes and expectations and dreams are, I'll look at them and say, okay, now how can we help you create a relationship where both of that is happening for both of you? Because if only one of you likes the relationship and the other doesn't, that doesn't qualify as a good relationship. And you're different by design. So how do we make that happen? And what's amazing, Scott, is that our Lord is so committed to us, our well-being, and to us being in unity with our spouse, that if we can figure out the obstacles we've got in the way, get out of the way, he'll make that happen.
When we've been married for a while and you don't feel like you have that passion that you once had, you start to lose hope. We're talking with Robert Paul today at SWS Radio, and he's one of the leaders at the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. And you've studied marriages that last. I mean, you've been married almost 40 years to your wife, Robert. But when you get to a place where you see families that don't see any hope in their marriage, what's the first thing we need to do to stop and just reset and say, okay, how do we even get to a place where we can see that as a possibility again?
Well, you know, one of the most prominent things that I hear people say when they're struggling is that things have been bad for a while. And, you know, I just don't feel any love for my spouse anymore. And the thought is, if that feeling of love is gone, obviously that means the relationship's over. It's tanked. There's no retrieving it. And then we've also got people who on the other side of it are saying, you know, love is a decision. Love is a choice. You decide to love. It's not about feelings. You decide to love. And then the actions of love will actually hopefully lead to feelings of love. And we've discovered that neither of those things actually are true in and of themselves, because love is not something that is ever manufactured between or within an individual. That God is love. 1 John 4:8 makes that very clear, among other places. And the goal is really not to create love or to have love magically appear. The goal really is to make sure that your heart and spirit is open to the Lord to receive him who is love into you. And it may mean for your spouse that you need to be able to ask the Lord to let you see them through his eyes and feel what he feels toward them and embrace that. But it actually opens up a world of possibilities for you as a couple, for you as an individual, when you really let God's love be resident in you and flowing through you toward your spouse, because that's what it's really about anyway.
When we're in a marriage relationship, a lot of times we feel like we're going one way and our spouse is going another way, and you want to recenter. Maybe you don't even realize how. We're talking with Robert Paul from Focus on the Family today at SWS Radio. And when you feel like you're pulling in different directions, maybe it's, you know, you're focused on career, your spouse is more focused on the kids in this season, or you're looking towards the future, they're looking towards the past, or you're looking at what your family can be and they're looking at their extended family. I mean, it could be complicated. But you wrote a book, Robert, called 9 Lies That'll Destroy Your Marriage. And when you got married almost 40 years ago, what was the big lie that you bought into that you don't even realize you brought into that marriage?
Well, I wish I could narrow it down to one, because I bought into pretty much all of them in one form or another. But one that you're making reference to that I think is really worth making note of is that right now, if you think about the most commonly cited cause for divorce, what we hear more commonly than anything is irreconcilable differences. And it is so easy when, you know, you're different and you're going to be different from your spouse, That difference is designed by God on purpose with purpose. And if you think that the goal is to get rid of differences or to even overcome or reconcile differences, you're immediately at odds with the Creator who created those differences on purpose and with intent. And actually what we found, Scott, is that differences, and this is going to be hard for people to hear because it feels so real that the differences are the problem, but differences, in fact, are never, and I mean never, fundamentally the problem in a marriage. The differences were created by God on purpose with purpose. So the purpose is to utilize those differences, understand and value them appropriately, not to get rid of them. I pray that Jenny, my wife, never becomes more like me because God created her that way, the way she is. And if we change her to something else, we're at odds with the Creator. I hope I never become like her because that is not God's intent. We got to figure out how to use those differences for our benefit and to God's glory.
We're talking with Robert Paul today at SWS Radio and just wrote a new book called 9 Lies That'll Destroy Your Marriage. Wrote that with Greg Smalley. Thanks for checking in with us today, Robert.
It's a pleasure. We are so excited about what we've learned and being able to share it with people at large because we know God's intent is that all of us would be blessed and be able to bring His blessing to the world.
Thanks for streaming Scott Harrell's podcast from SOS Radio.
If you're one of our regular listeners,
would you consider giving it a 5-star rating?
It really helps spread the word.